Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yes, it's on!
All over the whole Instagram like that. Watch, little fuckers down they go, there they are. Big fuckers, smack them. Little fucker, off to a big fucker. Now he's gonna go down to another big fucker. I hate that big fucker. No helmets, no fucking helmets, because they're real men. See?
Welcome to Clicking Balls. My name's Josh. I'll be the host today because Heath's decided to go wandering around the bush in Western New South Wales. Joining me is Brenton, and to keep the tradition alive, what's your highlight of the week?
Well, I spent the weekend in Adelaide, actually. Started going there, catch up with some mates, missed them to see a gig. I'm supposed to leave at 9 o'clock in the morning, which is bright and early for me. Not really a fan of getting up that early. But yeah. Flight got delayed by 5 hours, and first off they started telling us because it was the fog, and we're like, all right, fair enough, you know, that makes sense. And then the fog cleared, everyone else starts taking off, and we're still delayed like by 45 minute slots as well. So you'd go back, sort of get comfortable, then go back to the gate, another 45 minutes. This went on for 5 hours, and well, I get to Adelaide, got there at like, I don't know, maybe 1:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, which wasn't too bad because that's when I got to check in, but would rather do something during the day. Watching the news, and they're saying that there's a bomb scare at Adelaide Airport. Apparently, someone left a box in one of the toilets. Turns out there was a rabbit in the box. A fucking bunny rabbit in the box.
I have further questions.
Yeah, like 5 hours in order to figure out the bunny isn't a bomb. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe the bunny was packing like, I don't know, 2 kilos of heroin in its ass and just got really, really nervous about going to Melbourne.
That's entirely possible. It would not surprise me at all. Those bunnies are fucking feral.
But you're thinking, all right, so who's the bunny belong to? It's like, obviously, the magician is the first suspect, so he's going to find someone wandering around. And it turns out there was a magician festival in Melbourne, maybe this weekend or coming up. So going around there, seeing who's without their bunny, what they've got to improvise with these days. So, yeah, not really a highlight, kind of a low light, but, you know, it's what
maybe
can
just
do.
A setup to a massive trick.
Well, that's what I was hoping. Still waiting for that trick to play out yet. Certainly wasn't the crows at Adelaide Oval.
No.
We'll get through that. Anyway, what was your highlight?
Well, I'm a big fan of punch-ons. Yep. And we got to see a beautiful one between the Boomers and the Filipino team that I don't know if they've got a mascot or not.
No. Well, pretty much all of the Philippines were there. It's funny how...
It's massive over there, apparently.
Like, yeah, they love basketball it. Is huge.
But I mean, understandable being an American settlement, pretty much.
Yeah.
But
not quite the same when they're all like 5'4", though.
Yeah, I did notice that. There was a couple of American imports that were in Filipino. And look, we're not, Australia's not innocent of that either. Our World Cup side is full of people with unpronounceable names who've only spent a passing familiarity in an Australian city. But yep. I think it was Kickert.
Kickert. Or something like that, yeah.
One of his mates got fouled, so he came in with a flying elbow, which, you know, it's a bit over the top.
Yeah.
And then Sobey got dragged behind the ring and belted by about 10 blokes laying the boots in.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the Undertaker came out from underneath the apron and snuck a few in.
But they all sort of the rest, Thon Maker tried to do a spinning bird kick. A
couple of flying knees there by the big man.
Yeah.
None of them landed. It's a shithouse technique.
It was like every one of his limbs was a different Jackie Chan, and they were all connected and couldn't find a way to get to anyone.
It pretty much looked like when a new giraffe is born, when they're trying to like keep their feet.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. And, you know, I don't know if he's spent more than a couple of days in Australia in the last decade, but he's wearing the green and gold, so good on the lad.
I mean, we've seen a fair few of All-In Brawls as well across many different platforms of sport. As far as All-In Brawls go, this is one of the worst ones for actual, proper, legitimate fighting. That was terrible. Not that you want to analyse the fighting at all, but it's terrible that they did it. But holy shit, if you want to start a fight, at least know what you're doing.
Well, the only worst one I saw was during the, I think it was the Italian cycling, like the
Giro d'Italia or
something
shit.
Like that.
Yep.
A couple of them gone in fights, and Jesus Christ, it was ordinary. Like just wearing lycra and then spinning around in circles and flailing arms, and it looked fucking terrible.
It was like CM Punk, is what you're saying.
Yeah, well, pretty much. Except both of them did end up on the ground.
Yep.
But yeah, no, that was my highlight. It was, you know, the banter coming out of it was that there was more Filipinos throwing punches that hit Aussies than in the Manny Pacquiao versus Jeff Horn fight. They were a bit sore about that, I think.
Probably not far off. Not far off at all.
But yeah, and the Filipinos have got the 2026 World Cup for basketball as well. So interesting to see what happens
interesting.
There.
Interesting, yeah.
Especially if the home side all get suspended again by then.
It is pretty funny on Twitter trying to watch the Filipinos try and defend the actions. Well, if you look in the slow-mo on this angle, he didn't really throw two elbows. It was just a hard foul, and that's like in the game, so the ref takes control of that. Like, look, it was an All-In Brawl. Like, both parties are blamed, but you emptied your bench and you still didn't win the fight.
Yeah, I can see the next Australian-Filipino game is going to have Mason Cox. It's going to have Aaron Sandilands. It's going to be all these motherfuckers who just want to tear heads.
Yeah, maybe throw Dusty in there for a couple. Bring some
palm offs. Yep. Are they to palm off in basketball? I'm sure you are.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Yeah, I'll figure it out. They can work it out.
Yeah.
But, you know, interesting round. Honestly, great round of footy, I thought.
It was a great round. I need to watch all the games, but the ones that I did, even when I was out, I was keeping an eye on the score or one eye on the TV. Pretty interesting. I was staying on Hindley Street in Adelaide, and they've got TVs with sound down pretty much like maybe four or five bars down the strip there. So I managed to keep in touch with what's going on while having quality time with the missus. So that was always handy. Thanks, Hindley Street. Another thing is Hindley Street. It's turned into shisha bars and rub and tugs. I don't know what happened there. Like, no more biker bars. Even the Berkeley's changed.
Really?
So pretty much you've got out the bucket crime gangs for Asian crime gangs, which, I mean, at least they're pride and a service.
See, I used to like the historical bars they had there, like, even on Rundle Street with the Exeter and all that
stuff. Still there.
I hated the Austral because it was too fucking tiny.
Yeah, that's still there. And that's shit ass.
But the World's End was down Hindley Street too.
Yeah, that just got sold to something else. I just couldn't believe it. They had a lineup, and not justly so. They had the little partitions and no one inside, but still making the girls line up at the front in the freezing cold. Good job, guys.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, we're busy. No, you're fucking not. You're a mid-strip bar.
Yeah, I don't understand that, especially when there's other options around.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, whatever.
I wasn't going there.
I used to work for a bloke that owned that place, and he was a cocksucker, so...
Yep.
Yeah. Whatever. Anyway, Thursday night, another Thursday night game. We had Richmond and Swans. Fucking great cracker of a game.
It was really good. I was actually a bit worried about this game because Swans obviously have a good record at Etihad Stadium. The weather wasn't going to play a role in it because obviously it's undercover. And I thought that the Swans were a real red-hot chance to knock us off, but Tigers just proved that, once again, they don't need Dusty this season to be able to bring that team home. He had a very quiet game, got well held by whoever was on him, and you didn't see much of him on the screen because he wasn't really doing a whole lot. But the rest of the team just chipped in like a real big group effort. Third quarter and fourth quarter especially, I thought the Swans might have a chance coming back, but no, they really put the lid on it.
Yeah, I mean, two big things that came out of this that harmed Richmond a lot were obviously Conker's injury.
Yeah.
And look, I don't think there's anything wrong with that tackle.
No, it was fine.
Buddy twisted in the tackle, but that's what they're taught to do these days, because you can't get in their back, you can't, you know, spear tackle them, so you've got to twist, and this is what can happen.
That's it. And I think the news was it was a dislocation, not a fracture or a break or something like that, which sounds fucking painful.
Yeah.
But at least he might come back, you know, the next 10 years.
Yeah, it was still... It didn't look right.
His 100th game as well, which took him, I don't know, how old is he now? Probably 26 or something.
Yeah, he may not play 101 the way it looks.
Yeah.
But, no, honestly, I think the best way to avoid that sort of thing would be to allow... to not consider a push in the back if you're chest to back with someone.
Yeah.
Because if you put the hands in the back, push in the back. But if you've wrapped someone up and they fall forward, I don't think that should be pushing the back.
No, I agree. And I thought a lot of this game revolved around the center. And I thought it was a very hard-fought battle between both teams. Lots of sharking of Nankervis's free taps as well. So obviously Sydney had did their research about how to get the first use of the ball. It didn't really matter, though, because the back line was strong and it wasn't just relying on Rance. It was a team effort. Grimes again. It's Grimes? Yeah.
Yeah.
Asprey, I thought, stepped up and played one of his better games just to add his credits to our always improving back line.
It was a bit ugly for a second there with Rance and Buddy both deciding to dive at similar stages, actually. Yep. There was one where the ball was there and they both decided to try and put a bit of mayo on it. And it didn't look good. The funniest thing was the crowd was into it on both sides.
Yeah.
So every time Buddy or Rance got near it, which obviously playing on each other, the ball was getting towards them both at the same time, the crowd's going, dive! And you don't know whether they're calling it for Rance or for Buddy, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and I mean, one time Rance got pushed in the chest and didn't dive, didn't fake for it. I was proud of him. I thought it was a good effort.
Well, when he got pushed in the throat, I thought that was one that might get a bit of look at.
Yeah, I mean, if it was anyone else, maybe. But Rance did have his elbow in Buddy's throat as well, so I feel like that's just eye for an eye kind of thing. You let the one go.
Oh, I thought it deserved at least two.
Yeah, one that I didn't actually see the result of.
We played them in 2 weeks, though.
Oh, right. One that I didn't see the result of was Vlosten with his back elbow into someone's cranium.
He got one.
Got one? Yeah, that's a fair call, too.
The other thing that came out of this week was Hampson retiring.
Yep, that's news to everyone because no one's seen him for 2 years, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, if you got the choice of, you know, going playing footy with your mates or going home to Megan Gale.
Are they still together?
I'm assuming so. I think he knocked her up.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. But, yeah.
You see, there's one where old mate Barry Hall could have gotten even more trouble. Oh,
Jesus. Let's just pop the brakes on that one. That one's coming up. We'll get to that game. But yeah, I thought the inclusion or the return of Prestia was a massive advantage to the Tigers. Just gave them too many men for Swans to cover. Obviously, backline held up very well. Castagna and this other young fella up forward, Lambert, played another stellar game.
This was one of Lambert's best of the season, I thought. He got three nice goals with 27 possessions.
Yeah.
Seven marks, and his marks were mostly inside forward 50.
Yeah, and also, I mean, Jack obviously played one of his best games for probably this season and maybe the last as well, taking big, strong marks, feeding the ball down to the young, smaller players running past, and definitely, yeah, I think he's shown that when he needs to, he steps that up, but he's such a team player that he can play any role that's required of him in that forward line.
Yeah, but it was a good game to watch, though, because there was a lot of clean play and a lot of very hard at the ball movement.
Yep, and it was a four-quarter game. Like, you expect a lot of fatigue to come into the end of this game, but it just didn't happen, and that was on both sides.
Richmond did ground them out, though. Like, at the end of the third and start of the fourth, Swans came back, and Richmond just sort of said, "Nah, we got this," and then managed to grind it and hold them up, because they had a lot of possession in the early fourth quarter, and they just couldn't convert it on the scoreboard. And so then once they tried to take a bit of a breather, Richmond just piled on two quick ones, and then iced it with the third later on.
Yeah, an injury to Heaney didn't help, obviously, but wasn't the deciding factor. So Swans don't look forward to him maybe being on the sidelines for a little while.
Well, you'd think so. But all in all, great game to watch and a great game to start the round. But,
yeah.
You know, the Friday night game between the Bulldogs and the Cats, Jesus, you couldn't ask for anything more.
No. I was actually out of the stage trying to keep an eye on one on my phone, one on a TV, and one on a gig I was watching. So, yeah.
I mean, obviously, with the Bulldogs losing the week prior to North within the last 40 seconds, there was a very similar setup. I mean, all day, it was back and forth. Bulldogs blew it out in the early third quarter.
Yeah.
I think they only got out to about a five-goal lead, so it was a decent lead.
Yep.
But Cats just clawed them back, and then it was just tit for tat.
Yeah.
And finally, Bulldogs get one to put them ahead. Geelong get one back, and then Mitch Wallace is doing the whole kick to forward pocket again. This time, he makes the kick, and it stays inside.
Yeah.
And it still didn't work quite well, because old mate Tui had that shot.
Yep.
Just this time he missed.
And it was interesting to see that they started Abel on the bench. I don't know what the strategy was there, if they were just...
Not Tui Taylor, fuck.
Well, he's not a fan of training, so maybe the warm-up just puffed him out a little bit. Just need a bit of a breather before he starts. Yeah, but, yeah, it seemed like Geelong got the squad there, but the strategy just seems shit out. So I don't know why they can't get across the line in games like this, especially where they should dominate the play, be able to run that ball from end to end, more or less.
Well, they still should have won. Yeah. I mean, you know, if old mate Taylor puts that through, he's already got two goals.
Yep.
You know, they win, and they've pulled the rabbit out of the hat. But Bulldogs, full credit to them.
Yeah,
they
don't know what happened to their rabbit.
But after last week, you'd easily think the Bulldogs might pull into their shell and think, oh, fuck, not again. But no, they just put the hammer down and decided to do everything they could. They still probably should have lost. But it was funny to see eight people in the mark in that final kick. I think the mascot rocked out at one stage, but they told him to back the fuck off. Two players, though. Narkle.
Old Narkle.
Old Quinton Narkle in his first game. Looked a brilliant player.
Yeah, and that's what they need. They need some of these young kids to step up and take over the, you know, pretty much the middle-aged kids who were leading that team.
He looked like peak Motlop.
Yep. I thought the Bulldogs, they showed that they do have something to really hang their hat on. If they can come out and pull off a win like this against Geelong, and obviously there's some sort of flicker of hope there for that team for not this year, but probably next year. They've got something that they can build around. It's just a matter of having consistency. And I mean, for this one, it's probably the first consistent game they've played all year.
Hmm. Another ex-Carlton player staying true to form, Billy Gowers. He had a blinder.
Yep.
He looks like a proper champion.
I picked up a couple of goals, which, I mean, and the good thing about the Bulldogs here is the goals are spread out. They weren't relying on one or two players kick them. Everyone chipped in, and everyone sort of must have had that directive that everyone's allowed to push forward and help make more avenues to goal, which is obviously one. I mean, they've been struggling with a lot of errors, let's be honest, but that's one thing that they really, really struggled in.
And the match dickhead, Ed Richards, three goals, and geez, he looks good.
Did you say match dickhead?
Match dickhead.
Oh, right.
The old match dickhead.
The old match dickhead.
No, match dickhead.
Match dickhead.
Right. I actually thought there was a problem with the screens last week watching the Bulldogs warm up, because I'm looking at the screen and he looked that weird shade of dark radiant red, but no, that's just the way he is. He looks like a goth chick with that, because he's pale as fuck and he's got that auburny black red hair, so
it just fucks with the contrast in your TV.
Yeah, it does. I think the TV tries to auto adjust and then it can't. So yeah, it's fucking it up for everyone, really. But no, all up, the game has gone back and forth so well.
Yeah.
Dangerfield, I thought he had 31 touches, but I didn't think he was very menacing.
Well, it was just he had the touches, but they wouldn't have that sort of class that you usually have. I mean, Ablett did what Ablett does. Dangerfield usually has more impact with his touches, but these ones were him either getting the ball, not being on the receiving ends. But also this loss to Geelong, I think this puts them out of the eight, which I think at the start of the season, no one would have picked that GWS, Adelaide, Geelong were all going to be outside the eight at probably any point of the season.
No, Geelong are sitting eighth. Only just
they stuck in, did they?
Yep, there's a Melbourne, Geelong, North and Hawthorn all on
the same
points.
Melbourne lost. Melbourne had to win.
Yeah. But yeah, honestly, a great match to watch, though. Very exciting. Bulldogs are playing very exciting footy at the moment.
Yeah, and it's good to see that it's going to be a close finish to the end of the season. Generally, you have that, you know, pretty much top six sorted out by this time. But, I mean, maybe you can lock in one and two, but the rest of it's pretty much up for grabs.
I don't think you can lock in one and two.
Yeah.
I think you lock in Richmond. I think West Coast are going to struggle. But, you know, we'll have a chat about that in a bit. But the next game was actually pretty exciting for probably half.
And it was.
Carlton versus Port.
Yeah, pissed down rain halfway through the match as well, which, I mean, probably favoured Carlton. And Cade Simpson's 300th game. I had no idea he was up to 300.
No, me neither.
I feel like, I mean, obviously you haven't really followed Carlton much because they're not doing very well, but I feel like he's one of those players that sort of popped up maybe like a few years ago and started playing consistently. Like, oh yeah, he's probably, you know, going to be one of their future stars, and not 300.
Yeah, weird. Carlton hit the front quite early and then managed to, you know, get a bit, lose a bit, get a bit.
Yeah.
So I thought up until probably halfway through the second quarter, they were really probably the better side. They just could not convert it on the scoreboard.
Yep.
But then they got a bit of a blowout, and then they managed to claw it back after halftime. They looked pretty good in parts.
Well, the third quarter, they dominated possession. And, I mean, Charlie Kurnow was a standout. He looked like...
He looks like a superstar.
Yeah, and I mean, he's going to be. Like Kudafidi's running along the half-forward line, taking strong marks, especially in the wet, where I mean, people were struggling to kick and handball, and he's taken overhead marks, marks.
He had some great marks.
Yeah.
Normally, you'd say that old mate Casbolt's the one taking those, but 3 marks of the game is enough from him, and 0-3 on top.
Like,
mate.
Oh, someone's got to disappoint the fans, let's be honest.
Well, that's the frustrating part is he's a spectacular mark, but Curnow, for me, at the moment, is a better mark.
Well, that's who they're going to hang their hat on.
And a much better kick.
Yeah. You just provide an environment where he can flourish as a player and give your fans something to come out and cheer for.
I mean, we know what this is going to mean. They're going to get rid of Casbolt and he's going to be an absolute fucking superstar somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is unfortunate, but if you are a Carlton player and they get rid of you, you are going on to career best form.
Yeah, and the other one, the youngster, Jared Garlett, I thought he's strung together a pretty decent season. He had composure in the back line, even on the last line of defence where he shouldn't even be. But that's just what the game required. And I felt like he had his role in making sure Carlton were there or thereabouts. But obviously, they didn't have the class to finish off. I think Wingard had some moments of magic that really helped Port get across the line.
That side dribble goal, whatever it was, that's fucking bullshit.
Yeah, yeah. You knew straight away off the boot that it was going through.
That should not be a thing. That was fucked.
And that was just
unbelievable.
Just 5 minutes of play from Port where you're like, all right, well, that's it now. They've strung it together and that's probably going to be it.
But yeah, all up, pretty entertaining game. Old mate Powell Pepper's looking punchy as well.
Yeah, he's looking very punchy with the skinhead now. He's ready to go a few rounds.
He's been running the skinhead for a little while, but maybe he doesn't want to leave DNA evidence these days. he's figured it out.
Yeah.
But Ed Curnow as well. He had a pretty good game. Got 33 touches.
Yep.
Light on the tackles. He's normally a bit of a tackle machine, but he only got a couple.
Yes. And I mean, I don't know, maybe he's still got some soreness around that shoulder. Maybe that's playing a part in it. He's got to figure out a different role that he can play.
Yeah. Speaking of figuring out a different role, I do like the fact that Jack Watts has been kept out by Lindsay Thomas.
Yeah, yep.
Because Lindsay's been handy.
He wasn't useless this game. I mean, he definitely presented, and I liked that he wasn't completely goal-hungry. He did definitely drop the ball into leading players' paths, which I thought was very clever, very handy, and he's sort of found a way that he can sort of skirt around that 50-metre line and be a dangerous player, not just a goal-scoring player.
16 touches for a forward pocket's actually bloody good.
Yeah. I mean, what that does show is the many out of bounds that were kicked across both teams this game. But with a wet weather game, you expect that.
But with Lindsay, that was 5 contested possessions too. I don't think he got 5 contested possessions in the last 2 years at North.
No. Well, he had some possessions that were contested, but no, it was usually by the police.
Well, yeah, and that was also in SANFL and he knocked some motherfucker out for it. But he's managed to revive himself a bit. Yeah. And let's be honest, if you're a bit of a... You know, don't mind a bit of the knuckle. Port Adelaide's a good place to be for it.
Yeah, that's for sure. Even Motlop stepped up and did some good things. Well, didn't just kick it to the opposition every time. Maybe had a couple there, but not every single time.
He's a weird player to watch.
He is, yeah. He must be frustrating when he's on your team.
I don't know.
We've had a fair of frustrating teams. I mean, frustrating players.
Yeah, Sammy Gray was like a bit quiet, but Dixon, I thought. He didn't hit the scoreboard much, but he was always menacing around there.
He was, and especially in the wet weather, it's not really going to be conducive to his style of playing. But he did enough for people like Wingard and Robbie Gray, who I think kicked 3, to set up and make sure the ball was always going forward in their direction towards goal. And with that, you're always going to be able to score and lock it in.
Jeez, Robbie Gray's a menacing fucking player.
He is, yep.
It's one of those ones where if he's in the midfield, he'll just tear it up with possession and then quality disposal. And if he goes forward, he's going to pop a few nice goals.
Yeah, and the good thing for Port is that the other players have been showing a bit more consistency, so he doesn't have to try and take it all himself. He can actually float forward and not worry about the ball not even getting to him.
Well, yeah, to me it's guys like Trengove and Polak and even Powell Pepper. If they step up, he can sort of step back and play that specialty role.
Yeah.
But, I thought Ollie Wines as well was a little bit quieter, but he managed to get 7 tackles, so that's sort of explains him down in possession.
Yeah, and Wingard having his run through the middle now instead of just sitting up forward has always made a big difference to their style of play.
He's in career best form, Wingard.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I kind of like him, but I don't really want to.
Yeah, I'm the same. For some reason, I don't know, he just reminds you of some of the old school Crows players that you just love to hate, that were obviously because they were good.
I think he reminds me of a St. Peter's boy. I don't really know why.
Yeah.
Playing for Port.
Yep.
But anyway, he's looking bloody good. But on the other side of the dice, Adelaide and the West Coast Eagles. How good's Tex?
Oh, yeah. Got off his fine too. I mean, I saw that they...
Less than 1 minute deliberation, apparently.
Yeah, apparently they just watched the GIF like everyone else and went, oh, yep, all right, we fucked up.
Yeah, I think his defence was, can't, cunts.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, fair enough. But the Jackie Borlase Foundation had their dinner there as well. So Anyone that doesn't know, it's one of Texas Broken Hill mates and going through a bit of health issues, and they've decided to raise some money. Really, really banded around him, which took the best out of a small country town into an AFL-level football club. So they got heaps of people there, and they managed to auction off Guernsey signed by every captain in the league.
Yep. It's good for every captain to get behind too and put up the Guernseys and slap a signature on there.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think this got enough media attention by far, because whenever a footy player does something fucking stupid, we all hear about
Let's be honest.
Well, not as stupid as some.
Yeah.
But when a footy player gives the missus a belting, he gets absolute fighting in the media. And don't get me wrong, absolutely should get a belting in the media too, and fired and whatnot.
Probably belting in real life.
Yeah, but. The thing they miss about football clubs is that there is that sense of community, especially when you get away from the big league AFL and into the country leagues. They support each other to the nth degree. Like, someone has health issues, they'll band around, raise some money, help them out. If they need a job, they'll find a way to get them a job, that kind of thing. Yeah. So I think there's fucked up shit about footy clubs, don't get me wrong. Particularly, what goes in the showers should stay in the showers, I think. But this is one of the events where not enough has been said about it. And so, in some ways, that's good, because they can just get the good work done they want to get done. But in other ways, I think we should promote when the clubs do great shit like this. And they do it every week. It just happens to be this week we all knew about it. But I think we should be talking about this sort of stuff a lot more, and about the positive things that AFL clubs can do.
I think they picked up like $60,000 for the Melanoma Foundation, like that. So one of the items was a very large statue of a pig with massive balls.
And look, someone's going to put that on their coffee table.
Where do you find that from? He goes, right. So what I need, right, is I need a statue pig, massive testicles, all right?
They probably just looked massive. At the Rundle Mall pigs and decided, well, fuck it, we'll put some cods on it. Yeah. Go with that.
Yep.
But on the game, Adelaide looked honestly, done for all money at about halfway through three-quarter time. Yeah. Halfway through the third quarter, I should say, because Eagles got a run on. Adelaide's been... They're getting players back, but they've been, just torn through an injury.
Yeah.
Although, to be fair, Eagles lost Lacroix, Kennedy.
Eagles are pretty heavy on injuries, let's be honest.
All up forward.
I think second only to Collingwood on injury list, I'm pretty sure.
Or now, yeah. But Sammy Jacobs also, I thought, massively, he dished up Nat Nui.
Yeah.
Wound back the clock and gave him a bit of a hiding.
Yeah.
Hiding's probably a bit much, but I thought he definitely lowered his colours.
Yeah, and I mean... It's always going to be tough for West Coast coming across to Adelaide and try and beat this team. It wasn't wet, so it was going to be a clean game. But Adelaide just band together, kicked six on the trot, I think, and just dominated possession for, was it across the end of the third, start of the fourth or something like that?
Yeah. But a lot of that was Tex just saying, nah, I'm fucking having this.
Yeah, it was all the mates in town.
Yeah. He's got the boys in town. He knows he's getting on the cans afterwards. So he just decided, nah, I'm having a crack. And he kicked 3-4. So he probably should have converted a few more of those and iced it earlier. But... It just looked fantastic. Four contested marks, 11 contested possessions from a full forward. That's brilliant.
Yeah, and Rory Sloan, was this his first game back?
I think so.
Second one. Didn't do a whole lot, but I'm guessing you just want to have a good, solid hit out and see how it goes. But Matty Crouch got plenty of the ball. Maybe fucked around with a bit too much with the 20 handballs, but, what can you do?
But I'm glad they threw out that thing with Tex, because like we said, we all saw the gif and it's
it's rubbish,
mate.
Absolutely rubbish. Like, if you can't do that in a game, then I mean, shit, I don't know. It's like basketball is more contact sport than AFL these days. Well,
basketball is more contact sport than MMA at the moment.
That's true.
But Adelaide just blew them out of the park, which was fantastic to watch. And the Adelaide crowd would have absolutely loved it at Adelaide Oval.
Well, I was watching this game while I was in Adelaide. And I was hoping that... for one of the few times I wanted Adelaide to win, because I wanted the pressure off West Coast at the top to challenge Tigers for the 1 or 2 spot. But also, the support that Adelaide get... Like, I was in the city catching up with cousin and a kids at this Winter Wonderland thing going on, which was pretty shit. But there were people out, 11 a.m. waiting for the game that starts at 4. Just out and about. The city was flooded with people with their Crows get-ups. Just... kicking them out. Don't know where they were going, what they were doing, but everyone gets up behind it. And just watching people come over the footbridge when it finishes, going to the cast. Holy shit, that just doesn't stop.
Isn't it brilliant?
Yeah, it's crazy.
But the funny thing is that, and anyone who's been to Adelaide Oval knows that you've got the King William Bridge, or the, William Street Bridge, or whatever it is. King William Bridge.
King William, yeah.
You've got that, or there's the other bridge, which is much, much wider for pedestrian traffic that goes right up to the foot of the casino.
Yeah.
So you can go up the stairs and go around to the Hyatt or whatever it is these days, the Sofitel.
I don't know. Whatever's next to it. Yeah. Stands across the road.
Or you end up in the gaming area of the casino, and a lot of people end up in that gaming area of the casino.
Pretty much. I'm surprised they don't just put a little barrier across there so you have to go through that thoroughfare in the middle of Marble Hall
I'm sure they've asked for it. But look, smart. I don't begrudge the casino that.
Oh, shit. I remember that's where I first started working in casinos on the tables in Adelaide. I used to fucking hate when the footy finished and all these drunk people come in trying to play blackjack. Rubbish, too. Rubbish.
Well, yeah. Probably, yeah.
I actually had a mate who was there on talking about his blackjack stories. I'm like, dude, it's one person that's not interested in hearing your fucking casino stories is me. I've heard it all before and you're betting bugger all.
But again, that was the fourth game in a row that was top to watch.
Yep.
And then moving on to Suns versus Collingwood. And
it's interesting that these games come about just when all these old farts are talking about the state of the game.
Look, anyone that talks about the state of the game, when they're comparing it to old eras, they're fucked up. For a start, they're comparing the best game of a five-year period to the worst game of a round.
Yep.
And I'll take the best game from 2018 and compare it against the best game of any era.
Yeah, and I mean, I think they really forget what a season in that era was like. They haven't gone back and watched an entire season. Like, good luck with that.
Well, even if you watch the best games of the 80s, and I'd loved the 80s football, 90s, 2000s, whatever, but it's fucking slow.
It is, yeah. And it's just like, take a mark and then bomb it. Take a mark, bomb it.
Yeah, and look, it's fun to watch, don't get me wrong, but those guys, and, you know, people might disagree, but they would get slaughtered by...
Oh, they got nothing on today's teams.
Even this Carlton team.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't even be close. It'd be like amateurs playing professionals, because that's what it would literally be.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But, on the Suns versus Collingwood, I ain't going to lie, I was on the Suns here. I was hoping.
Yeah, well, I'm always against Collingwood, so... Yeah,
I did put my tip in of Collingwood, because not fucking stupid. I only got four this week, so I kind of fucked up, but everyone else fucked up too, so I'm still equal leader. But they counted the blocks pretty well, I thought.
They did. I didn't bother watching this game. I was... obviously out and about watching the Crows games, and I didn't really see the highlights of it, wasn't too interested. I think the worst thing is that Collingwood's injury list is going to be... one thing that's going to hurt them very much coming into the end of the season.
Well, Buckley at the start did say that if they miss finals, it's on him. So, look, they're sitting second, and they're looking pretty good, but they've just lost Treloar.
They're up to second.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus.
They've lost Treloar, and I think they've lost Thomas as well.
Someone else they lost. Who was it? Not DeGoey re-signed, so that's always a good thing, but they lost someone else. I can't remember off the top of my head.
But those are two big outs for them. It'll depend on how their run is, but I'd still say they'll probably make finals.
Yeah.
But I think they'll be in the bottom half rather than top half.
I think that's fair to say.
Especially because I think Treloar might be out.
I think they've got a pretty tough finish for the season as well. Pretty sure the Tigers play again.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tricky, and next week they've got Essendon in the return leg, so that's going to be where they are, but we'll chat
about that. Lyndon Dunn was the one that got injured.
Ah, yep.
A knee injury. I think he's done for the season.
That's right. Took Miller, had a good match, but to me the guy that's in ridiculous form is Jared Lyons.
Yeah.
He looks like he's finally showing what he can actually do.
Yeah.
So that probably means he's going to be fucking off sometime soon.
Well, yeah, for sure. And there's still no word on Lynch and what his plan's going to be, but it's safe to say he's not staying Gold Coast, or he's probably going to Collingwood.
Well, rumour is he's doing his rehab at Collingwood. So,
I mean,
it doesn't guarantee anything, because I think they've still got to make it happen.
Yeah, there's plenty of players at Collingwood that require rehab.
Yeah.
Not just for injuries.
I think DeGoey signed on decent money too. So if they're targeting Lynch, and word is they're targeting Stephen May as well.
Yeah.
So if that's going to be the case, they've got to sign Lynch for unders.
They're going to be targeting some creative accountants too.
Yeah, I think there's some shady shit going on there. But look, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Because they're paying Daniel Wells for next year too, and I don't think he'll play.
Yeah. And Gold Coast sitting in this weird situation where there's no danger of losing support from the AFL, no danger of caring about fans, because, I mean, they probably don't have many. And, you know, there's not anyone that's rocking up to their games, and not a chance of playing finals, or you can't even see a road out from the misery that is their team.
Well, to be honest, I think it's going to end up in Tasmania, because the thing is, the Gabba and also Metricon, they take massive cuts from the AFL. But yeah, the AFL generally doesn't make money from holding games there.
I've heard they make quite a hefty loss from these games.
Yeah, because the Gabba and the Metricon Stadium are charged by the Vic government, like $8 per person for public transport, and then another amount for security and crowd control, and another amount for people tax or some bollocks. So in the end, it's just they just get swamped, and it's not sustainable. So I can genuinely see them going to the Gold Coast Suns and saying, you know what? Maybe you're going to be known as the Tassie Suns.
Yeah, well, something. The Greater Northern Suns, encompassing Northern Territory, Gold Coast, anywhere outside of Brisbane.
The Yachts.
Maybe even Broome. Stick Broome in there too.
Brisbane to Hobart race, they'll extend it.
Indonesia. Let's take the Bali Suns. Imagine how many people want to go to that team then.
Well, at least for the end of year trip.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was actually a pretty good. Taylor Adams is looking like he's a big unit, and he was looking all right. He's not as big as the other Adams.
No.
But he was looking bloody strong.
Well, it's good that someone's looking fit and fighting, because it's only a matter of time before he goes down too. I don't know if it's their training staff or what's going on, but obviously it can't be right. They've got this many injuries consistently over a couple of years.
Well, yeah, it's weird, really. Like, they've got the best facilities of anyone.
Most money.
Yeah, so I'm just assuming they're on the juice or something.
Could be, actually. Yeah, on some of that Cuban wrestling juice.
Yoel Romero style. Yeah. But yeah, Adams had 70 contested possessions, and he was only done by Jared Lyons, who had 20. Sure. So anytime you're getting above 15 contested possessions, you're doing bloody well. Yeah. And speaking of that, Grundy got above 15.
Yeah.
23 possessions, 15 contested.
Well, Grundy's always been that workhorse, go-getter, always played above what you think he's capable of. And that seems to be improving, to be honest.
Well, like we said every week, he's only a young lad.
Yeah.
The sky's the limit for him. It's going to be fun seeing the next few years of him versus Gorn.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the very moment, I'd say Grundy's ahead. Like, if you're talking all-Australian form, I'd put Grundy in there just in front of Max Gorn.
Well, Gorn's had some injuries as well, so I think you've got to.
But a big part of the reason why Collingwood's doing so well is because of Grundy.
Yeah, yep.
But on to another great match to watch, the Giants against the... you know what? I'm not going to call them Hawthorn. I'm going to call them the Sean Burgoynes.
Benjamin Buttons.
Yeah, he didn't play because he's injured, but I like Sean Burgoyne. I don't like Hawthorn. So
pretty much.
Yeah, Giants managed to...
He's not here.
Yeah, fuck him.
Surprised this podcast hasn't fallen apart yet. We're doing all right. We're doing all right.
Yeah, we've got a ways to go.
Yeah.
Well, we don't. I don't know. Fuck it. See how long the battery lasts on the laptop. Yeah. But the Giants managed to get 13-17.
I mean, still not a positive, plus or minus with the goals and behinds, but you get the win, not going to worry about that too much.
And Hawthorn had their chances. Like,
still struggling, though. It's troubling.
I mean, the Giants got away to a ripper of a start. I think they had... they got the first one, and then Hawks got one back, but then they got the next five or six.
Yep.
Next four, sorry. And really put the pressure on Hawthorn, on the Sean Burgoynes. But, it was just one of those ones where it was pretty hard fought all day. And it managed to get back to, I think it was almost even, about halfway through the third quarter. But you just felt like the Giants always had something in gear.
Well, you did. And, I mean, I still feel like Hawthorn have played above what their talent really is this season. And so it was good resilience for them to come back. And you felt like if anyone's going to crumble, based on the games this year, you might be able to put the pressure on G2S. But they stood up and they showed that they could maintain it, string together some consistent plays, and also play as a team, which has been one of the things that they really struggled at.
Well, yeah, the bit where they really did kill the Sean Burgoynes was in the contested possessions, 190 to 135.
Damn.
You get done by that much in contested possessions, you've got to question the commitment of some players.
Yeah, for sure. I wonder who Clarko points the finger at this week at training. I've heard he's been pretty brutal with his analysis of people's endeavour. So it'd be interesting to see what the unfolding is from Hawthorn, who had a very winnable game here, and how they, how they come back from that.
Well, it's not Titchell. 50 touches. 50.
Yeah, I've heard he's still not happy on Titchell anyway. He's been saying that he's the most selfish player he's ever seen in his life, so...
Well, the thing is, 50 touches, he's thrown in with 9 marks, which is pretty fucking decent.
Yep.
13 tackles, and only one goal assist, but that's just because he was... trying to get everything from the middle.
Well, there you go. What the fuck's he doing?
And he led the contested possessions as well with 18, equal only to Callum Ward.
It's a fair day out in the park.
Yeah, but I get what he's saying there, because what the fuck else is everyone doing?
Yeah, yeah. And like, I mean, it's Tichel and Iago Mira, who's finally got fit and he's come back and started playing some great footy. Now he got 10 tackles as well, so he's doing, he's running.
Yeah. So, look, I honestly don't know what the fuck's going on with that.
Still not any news on when Cyril's going to come back, is there?
Yeah, but the only other bloke from Hawthorne, actually two blokes from Hawthorne, who got contest possessions in double digits was Burton and Hardwick. And they weren't really that damaging, to be honest.
Yeah, yep.
But everyone else, it just seemed they didn't have the appetite for it.
Yeah, I mean, Sicily still played all right. Obviously, he outdid himself last week, but yeah, he still did enough to you know.
Well, he got 1-1, but had 24 touches, and most of them being kicks. And he did look like he was. He looks like the sort of player that always tries his ass off. Like, yeah, he's just angry and he just wants it so bad.
Yeah.
Which is great when he's on your team, but when he's on the Sean Burgoyne's, I'm not a fan.
No. So fuck him, is what you're saying.
But having said that, if he come up and said, oh, I'm looking to leave the Sean Burgoyne's.
Two million.
Every team's send after him down there. Because he can play. As opposed to Will Langford, who I think every team wants them to stay at the Sean Burgoyne's because they're going to struggle.
Yeah, and Dylan Shield has been some interest now that he's fit and playing with consistency. They're trying to alleviate him from GWS now. Don't know what his contract situation is, but it's never really mattered when money's at hand.
Next year, he's the same as Josh Kelly. So yep. You can guarantee North's going to be trying to get a twofer with that.
Yeah.
And if they're not, they fucking should be.
Yeah, well, I mean, they've got plenty of cash to throw in now. So. Well, they missed out on... I mean, they got runs on the board, so...
Missed out on LeBron James too, fuckers. Yep.
Goddamn LA beacher.
Yeah, I mean, you know, to be fair, a million a season or a million every 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to...
153 compete. Million short, so...
Yeah, I mean, you know...
Should get the pokies back, that's what I'm saying.
What's 153 million between friends? But great game to watch again. A bit scrappy, but I've said before, I don't mind the scrappy.
No, I like scrappy, especially like...
It's as long great, as it's intense.
It's much better when you're a neutral observer, you don't have a dog in the fight, to watch a scrappy game because it's exciting, it's going to be close, and like you're not just berating your own team for being fucking useless when they've got the ball. It's not too bad.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of berating your own team, Melbourne v St KFC. Oh, Hotham must be loving life. They've just had record snowfalls, with this loss, there'll be a few nervous Range Rovers starting to get geared up for winter.
Absolutely. And Saints have been absolutely rubbish, but one team that you'd hope to be able to match up well against would be Melbourne, because they've got that same, you know, not overly tall, and they run through the middle pretty well. It's just a matter of Saints had a back line that wasn't very good, and somehow they've stepped up this week. And managed to string together, you know, end-to-end footy.
Well, if you tip this, you're a dyed-in-the-wool Saints supporter. There's no other reason to tip them.
Or you just fucking hate Melbourne, really.
Well, no, you fucking hate money. But the thing that I thought should have separated them was the hardness.
Yeah.
And it did, but in the opposite direction I expected it to.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I thought Gresham, again, he's been absolutely stellar this season. He's been one of the Saints, you know, hard-fought players. And one of the things we've criticised Saints for is having too many cooks in the kitchen when it comes to their forward line. Hmm. And it seemed like they managed to spread that out and have that running flow through the middle of the field now. And it seems like some sort of strategy has started working out, started wearing on the players, and they've figured out how they've got this avenue to goal.
Yeah, and Gresham, how good does he look when he's in full flight?
Oh, he's amazing. I mean, even Paddy McCartan managed to stay on the field for most of the game, kicked 2 goals, 3. Not a great return, but, you know, he did enough.
Hey, decent for him. And yeah. Membry as well got 4-2, which he's stringed a few decent games.
Yep. Even Jake Carlisle managed to probably have his best game of the season.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's not a smart man, but, you know, he didn't fuck up this game. So that's a net positive result.
Yeah, but it was in the crux all game. Like, it could have gone either way, even right up until the last few minutes when Melbourne got a run on.
Yeah.
But seesawing first half, St Kilda finally kick away a bit halfway through the second quarter. I couldn't put it down to one player, and that's the good thing for St Kilda. It was really a team effort. Sinclair suddenly decided to come alive.
Yeah.
But I thought he didn't quite have the impact of Armitage, I felt.
Well, Armitage has been one of the standout players for a while, and so you expect him in these close games to really step up. You can see fatigue setting in that last quarter. You got to expect that. But, yeah, they managed to hold on. And when you look across their main major ball winners, it wasn't, like I said, just the usual suspects. You had plenty of other people in there. You know, every bastard named Jack managed to get his hand on the ball a fair few times. So I don't know if that was confusing.
That's the thing. I felt like there was no passengers. Although I did feel Billy Longa got dished up.
Yeah.
But they managed to rove to old mate quite well.
Yeah, to Gorn.
Yeah, to Gorn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lost that for a moment. Yeah. But, you know, they roved him really well, and it was 25 to 39 hit out. So he wasn't exactly pantsed, but certainly wasn't the one in charge there.
It's not impressive, let's be honest. It's almost a pantsing. But you're right. They had enough people around the ball and good structure, which I think is one of the main differences between the Saints of, you know, maybe last five rounds and compared to how they played against Melbourne.
Yeah, I think McDonald just signed on again too, which it's pretty good because he only got eight touches and one goal. So glad he signed on because he would have got berated and he probably would have dropped his value $100,000 if he had signed on this week.
Yeah, it's tough to, you know, make some hard moves at the bargaining table with that performance.
Yeah, so good on the lad. This was the Barry Hall game too, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yep.
Yeah, because Lee Montagna and Barry Hall decided to discuss Montagna's wife's vagina and potential molestation by the obstetrician.
Well, the doctor, what a fucking genius move on radio. I'm just so glad that, was it, what station was it on again?
Triple M.
Triple M. They just pulled the plug straight away, so don't finish the show. After the game, yeah, you're fired. Fuck off.
See, the funny thing is, I've seen a lot of comments about it saying, oh, you know, it's just this sort of locker room shit and whatever. Yeah, look, it is, but there's a reason why it's called locker room and it stays in there.
Yeah, exactly.
I like Jim Jefferies. He's a funny comedian. He has some edgy fucking shit. Well, he'll do rape jokes and all weird ass shit, but he always does them after Watershed. Like, he doesn't do them on the Jim Jefferies show, which is aired in the US during prime time.
Yeah.
You know, he knows the separate audiences. You've got your After Dark, blokes only, incel crowd who are happy to hear the edgy humour. And then you've got the 6:30 p.m. time slot, which has got mum and dad and the kids listening to the Triple M.
With girlfriends and wives.
Yeah. Where you're like,
kids.
Yeah, this isn't where we're going.
Yeah, and like we were saying before, even if you're at the pub with all your bloke mates having pints of some shit beer and someone busted that joke out, you'd still look at it with dead silence, be like, mate, you're trying too hard. What the fuck is wrong with you?
I mean, I'd probably respond with, mate, the same as your proctologist did when you got the test. He licked his fingers after that and before. But, well, you know, it's one of those ones where I get Montagna's probably crossed the line of information on talking about his wife's nether regions and getting, you know, two fingers in there by the obstetrician. But that's what the obstetricians do. Mm. And then Hall's turned it into some, well, literally sexual assault by the obstetrician licking his fingers. And they probably had a couple of jokes off air because Hall knew enough about the situation to say that he's probably talked to Montagna about it. I think they might have even played together at St Kilda.
Yeah.
But so maybe they're good mates and they can have that sort of joke. I mean, if Barry Hall talks about your wife's vagina, are you really going to object too hard or are you going to get staked?
Well, I mean, you'd hope someone would smack him in the face, to be honest. And to be honest, I never appreciated Barry Hall's comments full stop about footy, so I'm glad he's gone. Fuck him.
Well, he's an almost lingy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except he's a bigger cunt.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, boys, talking about no.
And
if Hall hears that was Heath.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I don't care that he's gone. I don't think he adds anything to the game.
No.
And the one thing they always compare him to is Wayne Carey, because Carey's done some fucked up shit.
Yep.
That's beside the shagging your best mate's missus. He's also glassed his next missus and done,
you know, cocaine fiends.
Yeah, had a crack at a cop, some other crap. He's not a good bloke.
No.
But on the other side, he does know football and does have comments to contribute.
Definitely.
Granted, it's normally 50-50, so it's 50% dumb shit and 50% actual insight.
Yeah.
But that puts him ahead of a lot of commentators.
Exactly. Even then, I still didn't listen to him.
Yeah. That's not to say he should stick around, but if someone better comes along, hire him.
Yeah. Oh, they have. They've got, what's her name? The lady who's doing special comments. What's her name? She's fucking brilliant, actually. I think she should be the one that takes over.
Abby? Is it Abby?
I can't remember off the top of my head. Yeah. I've forgotten now. No, she was brilliant. Her insight was amazing. She actually watched the game, studies what's happening, not just making bullshit same comments. You've got to lower your eyes and, it's a team game.
Doesn't talk about...
She analyses the game and watches what's happening away from the ball and lets the viewer know what's happening because the camera angles are shit, so you can't see what's happening, but she's actually on the ball and doing that.
It doesn't keep going back to her career.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
But, look, that was a pretty interesting game. And then we get on to North v Essendon, which went to that game.
Shit.
Yeah. I didn't. I watched that game, I should say. Yeah,
you were going to go.
I was going to go, but ended up handballing the tickets on. It was one of the ones where, look, could have gone either way for
a quarter,
for a little bit. It was still sort of in the balance in the last quarter, but Essendon just had too much run.
Yeah.
Very, very fast side. And North, I don't think they were able to adjust to that because they tried a lot of the time to have three guys in the middle getting the ball.
Right, yep.
But for whatever reason, they couldn't kill the contest and Essendon were able to get it out. And they had four or five people away from the contest.
Yeah.
And were able to boot it away, which works very well for a team like Essendon because it means that if the ball comes out, they've got it. And if it doesn't, they've got a ball up.
Yeah, and I feel like Essendon are going to be one of those real annoying teams come finals time. You know, they're ruining some people's finals or maybe sneaking themselves or have some upsets where you're like, ah, really? Really?
Well, they are in the conversation now for the top eight. And yep. Look, they deserve to be because they killed North in this one. And to be honest, I thought a few of their goals were bullshit goals, that like McKernan's and Fantasia's, they had goals that should never be kicked.
Yep.
But when it's your day, and you get that first one when you're like, all right, I'm on.
Yeah.
Fair play for having crack. And McKernan's best game ever, I'd say.
Yep. Yeah. And Hurley got 20 kicks, which I think is a good return to form for him. He's been a bit questionable, but yeah. Yeah.
Higgins had about 12 possessions in the first quarter.
Shit, really?
He looked like a world beater. And then obviously they've gone, hang on.
But I mean, the real question is, how many girls did he have in the first quarter?
Might have copped a couple. But no, it was one of the matches where it was. I think this was one that Buckley said, you know, what about those rule changes? Oh, well, no, wait, we didn't.
Yeah,
and right. it was hard to watch objectively as a supporter of North because obviously you know going down and getting a bit of a touch up, but North didn't play bad.
No, I mean the scoreboard reflects that.
Yeah, Essendon just played better, and it's kind of a bit of a bitter pill in a way. But Essendon were just the better team on the day and better tactically and strategically.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what's that? 233 points scored for the game between them, and not much separated them. That's like a fantastic, you know, offensive footy.
And even then, final margin 17 points, and up until probably 10 minutes to go, it was still in the balance. It was only that last goal that Essendon kicked that put it beyond North.
Yeah.
So it was very much nail-biting all the way through. Unfortunately, North couldn't get it done, you know, from my perspective. Mason Wood had a couple of very easy goals. He kicked 3-3, but he probably should have made it at least 5-1. And the worst thing was that Cunnington decided to run through Stringer a bit, and he did pull up, which is why it wasn't taken to tribunal. But he had the opportunity to either lay him the fuck out or pull out.
Must have been tempting.
I think it would have been. Unfortunately, gave him 50 metres, and he got him in the goal square, and Stringer managed to sky it off a little bit.
Yeah.
Look, honestly, I think we might play them again towards finals time. If we are in the eight, and if we manage to lay out Stringer a couple of times, I'll be pretty happy.
Yeah, everyone will be happy, let's be honest.
Yep, I think they need... I think the only players who had bad games here were Luke McDonald and Ryan Clark. Clark kills in the VFL. He's an absolute belter in there.
Yeah.
But when he comes to the AFL, for whatever reason, he decides to kick to the opposition. it's fucking frustrating. The only other bloke who had a worse game was Tom Murphy in his fourth game, only got one kick. Yeah, six handballs, but one kick, and that's not
a good return. Yeah, no. It's not a lot of time spent doing your job.
No. But, look, it's one of those ones where North will think they could have won, but Essendon just were a bit too strong. And Merritt was brilliant. Heppel in the last quarter, I thought, was the difference, really.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, and Goddard had a good game, too. From North's perspective, it was all McMillan, Cunnington, and Ahern is actually... put his name up for best 22 and looking pretty good.
Yeah, right.
But then on the final match of the round, we've had one that was watchable, but probably not for the reasons we expected. I thought this would be a blowout, and it was.
Yeah, not for the right team. I didn't bother watching because I thought it'd be a boring shit game, and also I was asleep on the couch because I got back early Sunday.
But Dane Beams just turned it on. Like 33 touches, 16 contested possessions. He looks brilliant.
And like we knew that Brisbane would get like maybe one or two more wins for the season. And if you look at it objectively, Frio is probably a team that they might have been capable of beating. Just not in Frio.
Yeah, that's what put me aside. Because I tipped Frio because it's over there.
Yeah.
And there's been talk about the Brisbane Lions for so long, saying, you know, they're a better side than they seem to be. You know, there's an honourable loss there. There's effort.
Yeah.
But you need to put runs on the board. And here they just, not only did they put the runs on the board, they kicked 18 goals.
Yep.
That's a brilliant return. They never looked like being beaten.
Yeah, and I mean, it's almost offensive for the home fans that pay extortionary prices to get those tickets to Frio and watch them put up that drivel of a game. Obviously, they got injuries as well, I think. Obviously, Fife was still injured.
Yeah.
Sandland's still injured. Maybe got a couple more during the game, which I'll try and find out.
And I think Ryan is actually injured too, but that was because of a car accident or something.
Well, right, yep. Oh, I was too, yeah. It was was it him that got involved in an early morning car crash into a tree? Sounds suspiciously like he was fucked up and driving.
Well, can neither confirm nor deny, but I'm yet to hear of someone driving sensibly at bumfuck o'clock in the morning and having an accident.
Yeah.
So generally, when the roads are clear, you're least likely to have an accident. Maybe there was ice on the roads. Maybe there was,
ice somewhere else.
Who knows? All I'm saying is that he was either hooning or he was fucked up.
Yep.
Or maybe he dodged a rabbit that was jumping out of the fucking toilet to the airport.
These rabbits have caused lots of troubles this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to besmirch the lad, but I'm saying he fucked up somewhere to end up around a tree with no cars around him.
Yeah, I'm sure he's coming home from grandma's for dinner, and maybe rabbit jumped out.
Maybe he was
standing into a tree.
Maybe he was Ubering. I don't know. Yeah. Might be trying to make a bit of cash on the side.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Fife's out for 5 weeks, I reckon. Shit. Yeah. Well, no, several weeks.
I mean, you put a line through, would have had a line through them already, but they've been scrubbed. They're heading down.
Yeah, well, you just give them a rest for the rest of the season, surely. I mean, what round are we at, 15 or something like that?
Yeah, they're not playing finals. Yeah. I think it's one of the ones where mathematically it might be possible, but practically they ain't making it.
You've got him signed up. Don't worry about it. Put him in the rack.
Pretty much. Put him in a stud. Get him out there. Get him on the...
That's what you need to do.
Get him on the Viagra. Get him knocking up a few birds. And he's already passed 100 games, so, 18 years' time, you've got superstars coming through.
Send him around the country. Put him on a book tour or something. Get him to, just plant that go-home factor seed.
Yeah, there you go. And you can have a women's team, too, coming through, because that'll all be flocking over.
And it's not, I mean, you get a lot of grants and money out of the women's team, so... I don't know, mate was just saying that their club in Adelaide, they got, a $2 million grant to redo their club rooms and oval and just to support women's footy. And I'm like, so... How much of that is going to women's football? Oh, yeah, no, we're going to have, make the cubicles blocked off so they can be gender-neutral toilets.
So what the what's involved? It involves just putting gender-neutral toilets and a couple of sani bins around the place.
Pretty much upgrading the bar, making it a much more enjoyable experience.
Adding a few cocktails to the list rather than just the $2.80 fucking pints or pots of West End.
Yeah, it was funny because now they finished in the top two last season, so now they're up to Div maybe 3 or something like that. So they got to play against the college, the schoolboys, Saints and the other fucking
PAC.
And so it's funny going to their grounds, which are immaculately curated, gorgeous grounds, and they got to bring them back down to their bogan ass ovals. So they're making the most hostile environment. It's hilarious watching them come down.
Fucking should do too. Yeah. I remember going to St. Peter's once for some sporting event and just being stunned that they had things like Olympic level pole vault facilities.
Yeah.
It's like the fuck, like our school had bindies in the oval.
Yeah. Don't tell me in there because we had to steal something for our treasure hunt.
Oh, yep. Actually, old St. Mark's have been in the news a fair bit recently too.
Yeah, they're in trouble.
And to be fair, a lot of that was going on from what I remember. Let's be honest, if you turn up to O Week, if you're in on the joke, it's funny as fuck when you see freshers scared shitless about people pretending to have sex with porn in the background in the library. That's funny. If you're the fresher who's never left home, this is your first time out of home, you're expecting, old school conservative Adelaide
tuition.
And you see that, you're shitting bricks.
Yep.
And these days they kind of frown upon that. But anyway, back to the game. Lions, just too good.
Yeah,
too fucking good.
That's it.
And too many winners, too. Little Squizzy Taylor. He looks super special. I'm a big fan of him.
Squizzy Taylor,
Lewis Taylor. Yep. He had a big thing with his brother, too. His brother's a younger lad, and Squizzy decided to give his younger brother a haircut.
Right.
Gave him the reverse mullet.
Nice.
Except
nice. Bruce Dool.
He had a bit of hair on front. And then it was just shaved completely the back. So he's got the...
Oh, the Ronaldo.
The Ronaldo. And, it was pretty funny.
Yep.
But his young brother, I don't think he's playing AFL because he looks like he doesn't mind the occasional meat pie, but, geez, he's good value.
Well, you got a security, don't you?
Well, maybe he'll commentate. Fuck, there's been... He's in Fremantle. There's worse commentators over there.
Absolutely.
Fuck, it's worst commentators over here. If you can fuck off Basil Zemplis and get young Squizzy in, that'd be great.
Let's just clean the ranks, get them all out of there. Shit. I mean, if we could find, if we had internet that was fast enough to be able to simulcast while football was on, I'd fucking definitely give it a crack. No way would be allowed on any mainstream like site.
I want to get BT. I want to. He seems like the grumpy old fucker that'd be fun to play off.
I'd just be able to give him so much shit.
Well, yeah, and he's the sort of bloke that would get the shits and then throw his headphones down and run off.
Great viewing is what you're saying. Great listening.
Yeah, he'd stir him up. I mean, he's a big lad too, so he could stir him up enough that violence could be in the air.
Yeah, Heath will take him.
I think it's more like he'd be more likely to get angry and then just get the shits and run off.
Realise I'm going to do fuck all, and now I'm going.
But yeah, moving on to round 16, which it's great that a couple of weeks back we thought the top 8 was set.
Yep.
Now it's all on. Anyone's game.
Yeah. More Thursday night footy as well, which I love.
Yeah, pretty much as soon as they said Melbourne's a chance for the Premiership, they went to shit. So, look, and starting off Thursday night, a game that would be brilliant to go to, but it's at the SCG, so I shan't be. Sydney v Geelong.
Yeah, yeah. I think I've got to go with Sydney on this one. Based on the performance last week in Geelong's, being at the SCG, I feel like Sydney are going to bounce back. They wouldn't be disheartened by their loss last week, so I feel like they've got a bit of momentum and they'll take this one.
Well, two teams coming off tough losses and two teams that match up perfectly.
Yeah.
Like everything that Geelong do, Sydney do well too.
Yeah.
I'd say Geelong's got a slight edge in midfield, only minuscule, whereas Sydney's got a slight edge in the full forward line. But again, on his day, Hawkins can almost take it up to Buddy.
Yeah.
It's great.
I mean, it's tough.
Yeah,
maybe, I mean, maybe on his day and Buddy's worst.
And then you've got Rampy and Tui, which are very similar players. You've got Ronke, who's had a brilliant season, and now you've got old mate Narkle, who looks like he's going to be something special.
Yep.
Throw around Cam Guthrie. And
old Guthrie.
Yeah, old mate Kennedy's going to take it up to Gary Ablett or Selwood. Yeah,
Rampy's due for a big game.
Dangerfield. It's going to be great.
Who you got?
Sydney. I'm going to do a Heath and say Buddy's due for a day out.
Yep, he's been due for a while.
Yep, so we're all on Sydney there. And then we've got the G. We've got Richmond v Adelaide. Might go to this one, actually.
Yep, it's going to be pissing down rain.
Yep.
Horrible weather. I think we've got a top of 15, which means it'll probably be about 7 degrees at this time of night.
To be honest, Adelaide can win this.
Yeah,
if they play like they did last week, they can win it. But if Richmond play like they did last week, it'll be a blowout. Because that's the best game I've seen from Revolt ever.
Yeah, and I feel like it's going to be wet, so that cancels out a lot of their advantage from having the tall team from Adelaide. So I think Richmond will be far too fit. I think it'll be probably a 5-goal win in a low-scoring game.
I think in a match like this, Richmond hassle better than anyone else in the comp.
Yeah.
And if you've got a wet ball and wet hands and muddy feet, leg speed is compromised and the skill level drops. Yep. So the hassle is so much more effective.
Unless your last name's Rioli, and then this is...
Yeah, I mean, now that you can't pull a chucks out and wipe the ball.
Yeah,
I'm on Richmond. Lions v Carlton.
I mean, this game shouldn't be exciting, and maybe it won't be, but it could be close.
I'm pumped for it, honestly. I think Lions have too much star power. But I think Carlton have something to prove against a game that they would have penciled in as an easy win at the start of the season.
And they weren't useless last week. Like, that showed some good efforts and, maybe Charlie Kerner getting across the line. But, yeah, I mean, based on last week, you got to go to the Lions playing at home. Maybe they'll string a couple together.
Interesting, isn't it? Because they could very much do themselves out of a top four draft pick if they get too heavy.
Yep.
But, hey, I'm in the Lions. I think they're going to be too powerful.
Yeah.
And then we move to Adelaide Oval with St. KFC versus the Power.
Oh, tell you what, you'd love to see the Saints get across the line, but it's going to be tough.
Well, they're in form from 1 week, but I still think Port is probably underachieving so far, and I think they're going to move into the top four.
Yeah, I think it should be pretty easy for Port this one.
Yeah, I mean, they're sitting fifth, but I can see them finishing a lot higher than that.
Yeah.
And I think St Kilda have...
So how far higher do you reckon they're going to finish?
Well, I'm still hoping for a minor premiership because I did put a cheeky fiver on it.
Nice. Well, you have to after that big call.
Yeah, and it will mean getting back a decent amount of cash if they do get up.
Nice.
But yeah, I'm not. They're not paying out on that just yet.
Yep.
And then we've got the Bulldogs versus the Sean Burgoynes.
Sean Burgoynes. Yep.
This is tough to me.
It's tough. At Etihad as well.
Yeah, which Bulldogs play very well.
Yep.
Means weather won't be a factor or two. I'm leaning towards the Bulldogs. They've played two very good hassle games in a row.
And I feel like at that stadium too, I feel that Bulldogs might have the edge on this one.
And I just feel that like the Sean Burgoyne, still missing Sean Burgoyne.
Yep.
And I think if GWS expose them, the Bulldogs will take advantage of that exposure and they're going to give them a bit of a knock.
Yeah, yeah, I think the Bulldogs get across the line.
Well, shit, we're agreeing on everything so far. I think we'll agree on this one too. Melbourne versus Frio.
At TIO.
Yep.
Where the fuck's that? Is that Hobart? Is that down south? Where's TIO?
No, that's TIO. Isn't that Alice?
Oh, yeah, there's two.
Yeah.
That's where Melbourne play, yeah.
I can't see the Dockers doing it without Fife, without Sandilands.
No.
Even though Melbourne were a bit embarrassed last week, I think they're going to be far, far too strong this one.
Yeah, I'll be surprised if Dockers can get someone to get on the plane and come across and fill in the spots.
And then we move on to Sunday, where North take on Suns. North will be smarting from the round one loss, which was in a fucking quagmire.
Yeah.
There is no reason at all why North shouldn't absolutely destroy them.
That's it, yep.
Which makes me concerned.
Yeah, I mean, but you always find reason to be concerned. I think North will get this one easy. Well, I don't think there's going to be much of a yelp from the Suns.
If they don't win by at least five goals, they're probably going to not going to make the eight.
Yeah, yep.
And speaking of deciding the eight, we've got Essendon v Collingwood. Collingwood now without some very, very good midfield talent.
Not sure if Flaw's still up.
No, Flaw's out. He's out for at least five. It's going to be tough. He thought it was just tightness initially, but he's pulled a hamstring off the bone, apparently.
Shit, Jesus Christ.
Or at least, you know...
He's a pretty tough bastard to mistake that for tightness.
I don't mind giving Treloar shit, but he can play and he is a bit of a tough bastard.
Yeah.
I'm on Essendon here. I think the way they've played the last couple of weeks, they can take it up to anyone. And I think Collingwood without Treloar lose a bit of pace.
Yep.
And without Thomas as well. I think DeGoey is going to need to have a ridiculous game.
I'm pretty sure it's going to be rubbish on Sunday as well, possibly. So, yeah, I think that's in a good chance, this one.
I think leg speed is going to be all the more important here.
Especially having a bit of bench behind you, because, Collingwood got the biggest injury list in the AFL at the moment.
I think
I've talked myself into the Bombers in this one. I like picking either of these teams, to be honest.
Yeah, I think Collingwood got the biggest injury list in terms of ranking points.
Schick, players that matter.
Schick AFL ratings, whatever it is.
Yep.
So, it's going to be hard for them. But if Essendon want to play finals, they have to win this. And I think that factor, along with the injury list, puts them slightly ahead.
Yeah.
They're not the favourite, but I think that might change as we get closer to Sunday.
Yep. Yeah, I agree.
And then finishing off the round, we've got the Eagles taking on the Giants.
Over in the West as well.
Yeah, I love this game.
It's going to be a very good game, very hard fought contest. Eagles obviously got lots of injuries as well. Seems to be the story of a lot of teams that are fighting for that top eight spot. And Giants coming off like a solid performance against the Hawks. I mean, it's always tough to pick Giants coming across to the West, but if any game do you think the cable of knocking them off, it's going to be this one.
Well, this is one where I could justify either team.
Yeah.
I am leaning a little bit towards West Coast. And I'm not really sure why. I think it's just because it's over in the Perth.
Yeah. I'm going to go for the Giants just so we don't agree on everything.
Yeah, fair enough. And that's what we'll go with then. Yeah. Well, that's our round. Good luck, everyone, and get your bets on early.
Yeah. Peace.
See ya.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.